Welcome to the launch of Flash Fiction. Thank you all for being here. Firstly, we would like to acknowledge the Darkin Jurnal people, the traditional custodians of the land on which we gather here today on the Central Coast, recognising their continuing connection to country, community, culture and storytelling. We acknowledge this land was never ceded and pay our deep respects to elders past, present and extend that respect to emerging elders and all First Nations people joining us. I'd like to thank Bartoto and for hosting us in this beautiful venue that we have here tonight. There are, as many of you have realised, food and drink available at the bar, and that will be open throughout the night, so you can grab yourself some nibbles or
thank you.
Hopefully everybody here is already familiar with the Words on the Waves festival. If you are not familiar with our festival, we are a local festival that was dreamed up right here on the Central Coast, started with one venue and ambitions to bring the best of Australia's literary world to the Central Coast. And now, 6 years later, we have 3 main program venues, 15 satellite venues, and over 100 different speakers coming this year. So it just keeps growing and getting better. So hopefully you'll be able to come along to some of our events. Tonight's launch is part of our local author launch program that we have. And that is where the festival itself partners with the local authors so that we can celebrate and get the word out about all the local talent that we have here on the Central Coast. And there is so much of it. It is wonderful. Tonight, we do have Ed and Amanda from Not Quite Right podcast and some of their fantastic readers that are going to give you a taste of their latest offering. And I'll let them tell you all about that. And then at the end of the night, there are books available for purchase that you'll be able to grab hold of and get signed if you would like. So to get us started, I'd like to introduce Amanda Scotland and Ed Bicchio, hosts of the Not Quite Right podcast and editors of Flash Fiction. So thank you so much, Billie Jean. I don't know where you disappeared to. Thank you. And thank you to Words on the Waves. It's such a cool opportunity to be able to come and do this book launch, which we wouldn't have done on our own. And of course, probably most people here in the room know that we're not the authors of this book. We are, in fact, the editors of this book. We are the peddlers of smut. And we're very excited to bring these stories to you because they're wonderful. We're very impressed with the quality of the writing that we received into our competition, and I'll let Ed tell you about that in a minute. But we do actually have a couple of the authors from the book in the room. And so when you do come over, hopefully purchase a copy of the book and get it signed. We're all going to pretend we're famous and you can come and ask for an autograph and we'll give you a little autograph and might write something spicy in your book if you're lucky. But I want to thank Bartoto for having us today. Very excited to be here. It's such a cool little intimate venue. And, you know, I think a lot of coasties here in the room didn't know it existed. And I'm very excited to find that out. And they have some comedy and other stuff on, so I'm certain I'll be back. So I don't know about you. I also just want to thank every single person in the room for coming along. Hello, thanks for coming. And, you know, a lot of people here, friends of mine, people I have known for a long time, and people I've known for a short time, and people I've never met. And I'm very excited to have you all here together to celebrate this special event with Ed and I. I also just want to do a quick shout out for the authors who couldn't actually be here today. So there are 31 stories in this book. And, oh.
Seamless.
So this is my GIMP, Bernadette. Thanks, Bernadette. And thank you to Claire as well, my sister. So Bernadette and Claire are over there doing the little plane shots on my behalf. So thank you so much for doing that. And I just wanted to mention, like, basically what an exciting opportunity this is for us. I guess I personally dreamed of having a book launch one day. I never quite imagined that this would be what it would look like. I started out wanting to write for children. So kind of, I don't know if this is like how you procrastinate really hard from doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing. But that's where we've ended up, and I'm so happy to be here with Ed as well and to be able to celebrate this moment together. I guess I'll just finish up by saying we really appreciate your support being here tonight. There are other ways to support us as well. Obviously, purchasing a copy of the book or a couple of the books, whatever takes your fancy. Following us on social media, liking, sharing our posts always helps to spread the word. And yeah, leaving reviews of the books. There's all sorts of ways to support us and other local authors as well. Our books you can find in Gosford Library as well, if you want to find them there. So just to close it out, just want to say thank you so much. And I hope I get the chance to speak to everybody before I leave tonight. But I'm going to throw it over to Andrew.
Well, I know everyone's really keen to hear some smutty stories. Before we get into that, I just want to give a little bit of an intro on who we are and what we're here to do. I'm not sure if everyone knows all about us, but we are the Not Quite Right podcast. We started this podcast 4 years ago with very low expectations. I think, Amanda, you said that you expected to get about 6 episodes out of it. But here we are approaching 140 episodes. It's been a big 4 years. And if you know Amanda, you know that she's never one to just keep doing the same thing. So in 2023, we started the Not Quite Right Prize for Flash Fiction, which is our 500-word short story competition. And those stories are largely but not entirely non-erotic. Some of them have always been quite erotic. And we've been tossing about this idea of a erotic fiction competition since before that. But once we had the inspirational name of Flesh Fiction, we knew we absolutely had to do it. So in February 2025, we invited authors from all around the world to submit their stories to the theme, Making the Unsexy Irresistible. And we received 500 entries from all around the world of about 1,500 words each entry. So that's, if you do the maths, it's about as many words as War and Peace, and way more than we planned for, way more than we planned to read. But the responses really, they blew our minds. They opened our minds up to an entire universe of stuff that we didn't know existed. So some of the stories range from very demure, closed-door romances to some of the most fucked-up shit you've ever seen. We will be featuring some of those stories tonight, and many of those stories have been in this anthology as well. So just to give you all a little taste of what you'll find in this anthology, there's elderly love, we have some alien insect romance, soldier sex, phone sex, some literary homage, work parties that will definitely get you a meeting with HR. We have, funnily enough, both trees that fuck and men that fuck trees, which is a much easier. We've got demons, beasts, vampires, ghosts, frogs, inanimate objects, and yes, even regular human, normal everyday people, all of whom, without exception, enjoy getting busy. So we'll hear several extracts of those stories today, some of them read by the authors.
Extracts.
That's right, extracts. And we do hope you'll pick up a copy of Flesh Fiction to finish the stories off as well. So it's been two years to get to this point since inception. So a very long road, and amazing to finally get to this point where we can see the little book held in our hands. And Amanda, look, you've thanked a bunch of people, but I would also like to thank you personally, because without you, this book would not exist. Anyone who's done any sort of publishing knows the amount of work that goes into something like this. You know, you've wrangled 31 authors, gotten them to sign contracts, worked with them to flesh out their stories. You even got Blanche Delpuget to write the blurb, which is amazing. If anyone who's not aware, she is the husband of the and so yeah, so thank you very much. Without you, this would not have happened.
And likewise, thank you. So thank you, Ed. And yeah, it has been a long journey to get here. It's been a very, very fun journey, our little side hustle. And I'm very, very excited to invite Fiona, wherever she's hiding, up to the stage. Thank you, Fiona. Now, this is Fiona Lloyd. Fiona is an author, but she didn't write a story in this book. She has actually generously volunteered to read the winning story. Our winning author lives in the UK and couldn't be here, funnily enough, this evening. But I think with Fiona's accent, it's just the perfect match, I think. But I'll leave it to you, I think, Fiona, to explain. But Fiona herself has written some smart, not for this competition. I don't know if I'm supposed to announce that, but it's the truth.
Too late.
But Fiona is also one of the masterminds behind Words on the Waves and behind Coastwrite, which is our local writers group, and a wonderful friend, and I'm very happy to have her here tonight. So, Fiona, would you like to share with us your story about being an author?
My story or this story?
Whatever, your own.
Yes, where do I start? Well, I'm going to actually dob in my friend Selena, who's sitting in the corner there, who is the co-founder of Coastwrite Writing Group with me. Selena inspired me with her own writing to actually pull my finger out and do something I'd wanted to do since I was a child. And after several years, I did get a book published and have another one coming out next year.
So I might actually leave it to Fiona now to take it away. So this is our winning story, As They Like It, and the story is written by Jane Rice, who's an author in the UK. She's actually a fantasy author, currently self-publishing a fantasy trilogy, sort of YA new adult trilogy. And if that's the kind of thing you're into or someone that you love is into, let me know. I'm happy to give you more information. But I'm just going to very gracefully, like, trip off the stage and leave the owner to read. Oh, thank you.
So we're going back in time, think Victorian England, moonlight, and woodland. As They Like It by Jane Rice. The moon is up. He must come. Pale light transforms the shadows beyond Rosalind's greenhouse into woodland and overlays her serious face on the glass. She has already tugged out the combs and pins that cage her hair. She has thrown off her clothes, the daring above the ankle skirt, the ordinary box-pleated blouse, corset, drawers, and sturdy shoes, and donned a paisley dressing gown, the silk cool against hot skin. He likes to undress her before having her on the daybed in the corner, but she does not want that slow tease tonight. The muscles between her legs beg for him. Their ache draws her wild. She dug the kitchen garden like a demon. The men, used to ignoring Lord Coxley's strange spinster daughter, had stared. She had imagined tossing her spade aside and lifting her skirt to reveal her drawers. She had pictured herself stretching the open crotch seam wide to reveal the V of her hair. Is this what you can smell, boys? She scoops compost into a small terracotta pot from a tin bucket on the table, then makes a hole with her index finger. Will he come tonight? Does he still want me? Movement among the trees, a detaching shadow. Rosalind ducks her head over a wooden tray of cosmos seedlings, snatches up a pencil and uses it to lift out a plant. She places the seedling in the pot and pats the compost down around it. Next. The old piano stool swivels as she works mechanically. Fill a pot, make a hole, prick out, add seedling, press down. Breathe, Rosalind. She squeezes her thighs together and the ache draws out, worsens. The thud of her heart fills her head, yet she hears the hinges of the iron door creak. At the pad of his feet, her chest swells. She knows he is naked. He is always naked. Next pot, stay on task. The steady rhythm of his feet causes her to imagine it swinging side to side. Or perhaps it has already risen and engorged. And then he is there, hugging her waist, all muscular warmth, leaning in over her shoulder like a regular man would. Laughing hazel eyes, full lips, tawny hair. He smells of fresh wood shavings, like he is newly hewn each time he comes to her. His smile is knowing. Can't wait, my Lady Rose. Am I too obvious? Her blue blood rebels. Oh, hello. Wait, please, I must finish this tray. Carry on, he whispers. I will watch.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fiona. So I'd like to welcome Dean Khoury to the stage. So, Dean, you're the judge for Furious Fiction, for anyone who doesn't know Dean. And I'm sure that's put you in good stead for writing for this competition. So tell us a little bit about your story.
I was just excited to be able to write a story again because I can't enter the normal competition anymore. So that was this one. The brief was make the
unsexy irresistible.
Yeah. So I decided to go with something comedic, and I thought about the ritualistic nature of. Especially in Hollywood, the post-coital cigarette, which you might think is very sexy in itself, but the idea of smoking in general, I thought, well, that's sort of become quite unsexy. So I thought, what would it be like if the story was told from the point of view of the actual cigarette after, rather than the actual act. And the act is the foreplay, if you like, and then the cigarette is the action event. So,
fantastic premise. Well, I'll leave you to it.
Oh yes, and my pseudonym was Nicholas Sparks, and that's Nicholas K-N-I-K-E-R-L-E-S-S, who I thought wrote The Horse Whisperer, but that's a different Nicholas. That's like Nicholas Evans. Yeah, he did dumb The Notebook, I think. Nicholas Sparks. All right. The story is called Smoke Show. Right. It's happening. The slippery slap of skin on skin, rubbing, plunging, kneading, the buttery squelch of cock sliding into hidden folds, air pockets pop, pop, popping in the semi-darkness. Tits jiggling, nipples rubbing, asses bouncing, fingers searching, hungry, hips thrusting, hair tossing, lips bitten, not shy. The groaning, the moaning, fuck yes, fuck yes, fuck, fuck me, harder, harder, limbs splaying, askew, akimbo, moving as one, contorting and refolding. The bed springs cry out, the headboard shudders, and finds a steady rhythm. The side table rocks, mini earthquakes, Jurassic Park-like ripples in the water glass, nature finds a way. The blasphemous crescendo of coming, oh God, oh God, oh fuck, oh God, oh God! The silence, the sweat, panting in the dark, then panties in the dark, her footfalls tiptoeing to the bathroom, the gentle click of the door, his lazy arm reaching, reaching, torso rolling, searching. And there we are, waiting. At last, foreplay is over. It's time for the fun to begin. It's tight. Our bodies rub against each other in unison. In the past half hour, anticipation has grown with every climbing octave, every passing minute, every sticky, slick thrust. And now, in the musky, cum-soaked darkness, we wait. Strong, fleshy fingers grope in the red light of the digital clock. We yearn to be touched, to feel his skin against our tight package. We are untasted goods, brand new and longing to be unwrapped in front of him. Pretty as a pink Virginia tobacco flower. Since the day we were born, our lithe, dangerous bodies have dreamt of this moment. To be with him, so hot, yet so forbidden, frowned upon by society, a sin. Deep down, we know it's wrong. We try to fight it. The temptation, our birthright. Stay away, we warn, big and bold and graphic. Pushing him, warning him, we could make you go blind. We're no good for your heart. We're so bad for you, we plead. But secretly I crave him, and I know he wants me. He's a bad boy. He will have his way with me no matter what. Make me burn with desire. Foreplay seems to have taken a lot out of him. As he sleepily fumbles with my outer garments, I blush and roll about playfully. Go on, you know you want it. Tap that ass, baby. In a single sexy motion, he flips us all upside down and slams our tight package down on his palm. Oh my fucking God. Tobacco floods my shaft. Fuck, it feels so good, baby. He taps two more times on my bottom, softly now. Oh God, this is really happening. Silently, he removes our top, exposing all our naked ends, pure, singular, virgin tips. And at last, I can see his body. He's damp and spent at one end of his torso, but it's the other end I crave, his parting lips. I push my own slender form out just a little further, yearning to touch them. And then I'm flying, floating, tumbling and tossed between his strong, bony fingers. The thrill of it almost makes me come. 20 to choose from, and he chose me. Oh God, how I long to be sucked by him, to slide inside him, to give him pleasure. And it goes on.
Thank you very much, Dean. So yeah, that's just the taster, because there's more to come of that story, so to speak. But thank you very, very much. So Dean wrote that, so that came from his brain. Okay. Straight from his brain to your ears. But now I'd like to welcome Chloe Page up to the stage. Big round of applause, please, Chloe. So Chloe's actually had an absolute cracker of a year in writing. Now, I've only just recently come to understand that Chloe's only been writing for about a year and a half, which, when you're in the writing world, is absolutely offensive because of how much success she has had. So Chloe, would you like to share with us some of the little wins that you've had this year?
Yeah, I've absolutely got smacked with some of the writing results I've had this year in the writing circuit. Here with Not Quite Right, I've shortlisted twice and longlisted three times now. And I've also won the Elegant Literature Award. So that was really exciting. So that's a 2,000 word story. And I've also won New York City Midnight. Both of those were in the same week, because that was really overwhelming.
Yeah.
And in April, I won the Booby Prize. So I really love that I won the Booby Prize, because it canonically means that I have award-winning boobs. So I'm really happy with that one. Yeah, and I'm really happy to be published in this anthology as well. So thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you for bringing your A-game every single time. And, you know, just for context, New York City Midnight is a competition that thousands of people around the world enter. And actually, both Dean and Chloe are winners of the New York City Midnight competition. It is a huge deal. Also comes with a lot of cash, which is nice as well, but also the honour is the main thing. Now, Chloe did have to apologise when she arrived today, because she has in fact written a story about my husband, Andy.
Oh, here we go.
So in previous iterations of the Not Quite Right prize, the regular competition, we had a break the rules challenge, like break the writing rules. And a very famous writing rule for those of you who are not writers in the room is kill your darlings. And basically, kill your darlings means get rid of those lines and phrases in your story that are very, you know, a bit too wanky, let's say, basically. Like they please you and maybe not the reader. And so our challenge in this round of the competition was to break the rule, kill your darlings. And so Chloe thought a really good response to that challenge would be to kill our darlings. And so she wrote a story featuring my husband Andy and Ed's wife Sharon, and it was probably one of the funniest things I've ever read. So thank you, Chloe.
You're so welcome. I'm sorry.
But I'm going to leave you to it now. So if you'd like to share the title of your story and a little extract.
Thank you. So my story is called Venus of Urbino, and for context, Venus of Urbino is a Renaissance painting by Titian, and that is currently on display in the Uffizi Gallery in Italy. It is a portrait of a woman laying down on a chaise lounge. She's completely naked, making direct eye contact with her viewer. And I thought that was really powerful, because just to say, like, you know, you can look at me, but I'm looking at you. And I thought that was really powerful, and I wanted to write something about women's confidence, especially with their sexuality. And so I have a story called Venus of Urbino, because I named the story after the painting, because I thought, what better way to have an ego than to name my own story after the painting? And just a little bit more context, the POV of this story, the point of view character, is this woman's sex drive. So in this woman is talking to herself, essentially. And yeah, so this is Venus of Urbino. She wrings her hands and I study her. She's a stranger and an old friend in equal measure. There are new textures to her that I've never felt, experiences that she's had that I've missed. All she's considered, handled, and planned over the years must have changed her. Perhaps I need to change for her too. I recline in her mind, squashing her thoughts. So you liked that? Me telling you what to do? She shifts her weight, the floorboards creak, the fire pops. Her silence is my answer. Take your clothes off. Take your clothes off. Slowly, uncover the mirror. I want to watch. She pads to the mirror and winds her fingers in the old sheet covering it. Fidgets with a worn, threadbare patch. Don't think, I order. I'm in charge now. I can't keep all this want for the new Alinta to myself. It'll have to fit inside her. I'll stretch her every bound and limit. Her breath hitches. She steals herself and pulls the sheet free. Her reflection is bathed in firelight, gilded. There's no sharpness to her anymore. Proof marble statues can be soft. That softness sits on her waistband, stretching her top stained with sweat rings and merlot. Alinta fidgets with its bottom hem. I'm not 20 anymore. Neither am I. Now take it off. She traces the hem, lifts the top over our head. Slow, cotton kissing skin. Hairs rise, shivers zip between them. She forgets the fabric to the floor and reaches behind to unhook our bra. Our breasts drop to their natural position, low. The wire has left angry indentations in our skin. Alinta swallows, grazing the dark hairs around our nipples, shrinking taut under our touch. Bumpy, dark pink. Good girl. Keep going. She straightens, taking a deep breath and the weight of our breasts into our palms. A pinch and something fizzles, something pulls. She might be tipsy from the wine, but I'm drunk on relearning her shape. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chloe. Sorry, I'm just gonna quickly introduce Ed because he's now gonna come up. So thank you so much, Chloe. I think it takes a huge amount of courage to get up here and read your own work, especially when it's something so personal as opposed to something a little more comical. So I would like to give another round of applause to Chloe.
No introduction for me, Amanda?
Well, then I remembered you were going to do it yourself, so...
Well, I'm going to read a story or a little extract of a story that I didn't write. And in fact, Amanda, you suggested I read this one, so I'm going to blame you for the content. It is a little bit out of my own comfort zone. So this is an extract from a story called Even If It Ruins Us by Alice Black. And this author has an obsession with Greek mythology. And the story itself is a modern take on the story of Achilles and Patroclus, who are said to have shared a profound bond and were very close companions since childhood. So historical sources debate whether their relationship was anything more than platonic, but our author, Alice Black, definitely likes to think that it was more than platonic. So this extract comes from later in the story when things start to get a little bit steamy. And to get yourself in the scene, picture a dusty modern war zone somewhere like Iraq or Afghanistan. We've got helicopters buzzing overhead, bullets flying, explosions, and our modern day Achilles and Patroclus are huddled in a tent, enjoying their final moments together before re-entering the fray. I press my mouth to his collarbone, to the scar across it, and then to the spot just below it, where he's always been sensitive. He inhales sharply, and his nails drag lightly down my ribs. "You always do this," he says. "You make me feel like I still belong to something." "You belong to me," I answer, voice low against his skin. Our words don't slow him. His hands are steady, his grip firm. He knows where I like to be touched, and he does it without hesitation. I reach down, unfastening his pants before I trace along the waistband, teasing, letting tension build. His hips lift into my hand, but I hold him still with a kiss. A fraction of a moment passes before I move lower, kiss the hollow of his stomach, then lower still, down the center of him, until his whole body shivers beneath mine. He tries to be quiet, but I hear the moan he swallows when I unfasten his pants and peel them off. His cock rests against his stomach, flushed and leaking. His breath stutters when I wrap my fingers around him. I stroke him slowly, deliberately, feeling the way his muscles jump under my palm. His hips twitch, but I keep my pace teasing. I kiss the base, then the shaft, then the head, letting my tongue taste the salt of him, the heat. His hands tangle in my hair. When I take him fully into my mouth, I'm slow and wet and thorough. I hollow my cheeks and drag him deeper, pausing at the base, then pulling back. His thighs tense around me. His breath comes in ragged waves. I hum low in my throat and feel the shudder ripple through him. Now I'd like to call to the stage Amanda for the final.
I was just enjoying the Rivalry Warzone edition. Thank you.
Do you need an introduction?
It's hard to follow all of that, to be honest. So well done, all of you. Thank you. You've made it very difficult for me. I was going to say hard, but I won't.
We must.
You've made it very hard for me. All right. And I will also be reading a story that wasn't written by me. This was written by a friend, and she'd like to be known as Edna Ellen Crow, and she couldn't be here tonight. And I know that makes it sound like I wrote it. I didn't. So I don't want to take any credit for this. And just as a little bit of an insight, I suppose, for those of you who aren't familiar with all the stuff that I bang on about on our podcast, I'm a little bit of a fan of Edgar Allan Poe. So he's a famous American poet and author. He wrote a lot of short stories. Exactly, never more. So, like most people, my main knowledge of Edgar Allan Poe comes from The Simpsons. No. Quoth the Raven, eat my shorts. But yeah, so he had a very famous story called, I've confused myself because I've read this one here, called The Telltale Heart. And it's a horror story. He wrote a lot of horror. And it's basically about a guy who's haunted by the sound of the beating heart of the man that he murdered, who he's buried in. I think he closed him in the wall. Poe had a bit of a thing for bricking people into walls. But anyway, so this author knows that I love Edgar Allan Poe. And so this horror story, erotic horror, was written a little bit as a gag to me. But this story is called The Telltale Cock, and an homage. And it's about a cursed penis. All right, so I'll just give you that context. A cursed winking penis. Important information. And so I'm just going to read the start, but I hope that you all read the whole story because it is amazing. The Telltale Cock, an homage by Edna Ellen Crow. If I said it here on Insta, yes, it's true. My loyal followers know I haven't been my usual self lately. But, and you can trust me on this, the rumors about me being in my breakdown era are just gossip. If anything, it's just pushed me to fully evolve. This is my awareness era. Sit back, my lovelies. I'll spill the tea. You'll understand then. So, having a high sex drive is one thing. That's how I roll. But when I moved into the share house with Tom, aka friend-zoned guy, something changed. Each night, after turning out my light, I could hear, no, feel, a throbbing coming through the wall between our bedrooms. A deep, rhythmic throbbing that set me on fire. My toy drawer was just as full as the next woman's, yet I began with just my fingers, seeking a simple release. Sleep still wouldn't come. The strange rhythms pulsed through my entire body, and I rubbed myself in a frenzy until my fingers cramped and my poor clit ached from all the attention. As the nights passed, every toy was pressed into action, but my body wouldn't stop responding to the throbbing. I'd weep with frustration until dawn. I didn't hate Tom. He was a decent housemate. We had no problems in the daytime. But as soon as our house darkened, the throbbing from his room began. It was relentless. I was helpless. Dear followers, I'll admit, I thought I was losing my mind. But with my usual take charge energy, set out to discover the cause of my unrest. Night one. I waited until midnight to be sure Tom was asleep, then cracked his door open, using my phone torch to see inside. All was silent. He lay there on his back, a sheet halfway up his naked, muscled chest. Night two, midnight, I visited again. This time, there was no sheet, and my torchlight revealed a huge, magnificent cock. It lay thick and curved, slanting towards me, and then it winked at me. The eye of his cock, sly and mean, winking like it knew my secrets, like it knew the real me, not the shiny, clean version you see here. Night three, midnight, and I went in without a plan, jittery and confused from nights of missed sleep. Yet I knew I must avoid looking into the eye, that evil eye. Um, So I think you can see why I enjoyed that story. It's hilarious. And it only gets worse. And when I say horror, I spared you the gory details, but it gets pretty bloody and pretty gory. So I hope you all enjoy that one. That's the last one in the book.
Well done. There's plenty more in that book, so I hope everyone picks up a copy.
Yeah. And there's a little bit more of everything. So we had a nice little taste of comedy and literary and romance and horror. There's kinky stuff in there too that no one was brave enough to read. So it's good. So that's our story reading. So again, there's plenty more to enjoy in the book itself. Thank you for your attention. I hope you enjoyed the story readings. We're very, very grateful again to have you all here. There's some Not Quite Writers here, some podcast listeners, friends. My husband Andy's here, and of course Ed. And I just want to say a huge thank you to Ed, who lets me carry on and organises stuff and goes along with it and says yes every time. So thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.